Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our edition of It's Your Opinion at the Round Table. This is where our guests discuss, share, and offer their insight on issues that are important and issues that impact the black community. We have four special guests on tonight from different parts of the country, and we're so honored that you're here. Joining us here at Nia2X Radio, I'm your host tonight, Nia2X. I'd like to first introduce our guest from Washington, D.C., a sister well-known around the area. She is an activist, a teacher, and so much more in the positive. Welcome to the program, Sister Cade Campbell.
Thank you, Sister Nia. Glad to be here.
Also, calling in from the Big Apple, if you will, it is your man in mind, always on the front line, found working and doing many things that impact the community. It is our brother, Brother Carl Johnson, better known as CJ. Peace to you, brother, and welcome to the round table.
Peace to the round table.
Indeed, we also have on at the round table, rather, calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, our sister who is also an activist, very intelligent, always found making a difference in the community. It is Sister Yolanda C. Peace to you, sister, and welcome.
Peace and grace to everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Indeed, and our last guest tonight is a brother who is no stranger to the Nia2X radio family, and that is our brother, doctor, author, scholar, and that is Brother Dr. Bruce Bridges. Peace to you, soldier, and thank you for being here.
Peace and power to the people.
Indeed. We're sponsored today by the Sunshine Tours and Travel, who specialize in black history tours all around the country and abroad, and also by the National Congress of Black Women. The National Congress of Black Women is the organization that brought truth to the Capitol. And that is, of course, referring to Sojourner Truth. All right, panelists, tonight we are here, and we're so happy that you're here. We're going to talk about a few things tonight that really are important to the black community. Mainstream has what is important to them, and that's okay, because black people have what is important to us, and we want to get your opinions about it and get insight from how you feel about the following issues. We started off tonight with an announcement. Mostly everyone knows, but a lot of people may not know the untimely passing of one of the greatest queens, if you will, a sister indeed, who was in our midst, a sister who was definitely front line talking about the same subject for over 40 years, and that is the passing of Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. She passed January 2nd here in Washington, D.C., in a hospital, and from what we understand, in the result of a stroke. The autopsy is still being confirmed, and we can update the audience as we get those facts in. But unfortunately, she has passed. And we want to get some of your opinions tonight about this great woman and your thoughts about her passing. We'll start with you, Sister Cade, from Washington, D.C., the impact or your thoughts about Dr. Frances Cress Welsing.
Thank you, Sister Nia. I was surprised to hear of the passing. I had just talked with our great sister about a month and a half ago, about this gang stalking or targeted individuals, which is psychological program that's been introduced by Homeland Security. And I hope the other listeners, those on the roundtable as well as our listeners, will go online and check this program out. Anyway, Dr. Welsing told me that she was not aware of it, but that was certainly one of the things that she would research. I first met Dr. Welsing back in the 60s, and this is when she had decided to challenge, I think his name is Dr. Shockley, a physicist who had made the statements across the nation that African-American peoples were inferior. And that's when I first, in the process of challenging him, she mentioned, she began to discuss racism, institutionalized racism. And I think at that time I was slowly beginning to understand what was going on. But Dr. Welsing made it very clear to me that we do have what is called institutional racism, and it's not just individuals acting because of any information that they have learned or not learned about us. So that was a real eye-opener to me. And subsequently I ended up going to a number of her lectures that were held once a month on Thursday, I think it was, Thursday, at the Blackburn Center at Howard University. And they were always eye-opening lectures and always left me with a wonder as to, in terms of my research, and just opened my eyes to information that before I had not been privy to. So I am so indebted to Dr. Welsing and so shocked and hurt by the fact that she has left us. So that's mm-hmm. what I wanted to say, Sister Nia.
And we appreciate that, Andy. That's Cade Campbell representing the DMV area, Washington, D.C. Let's go to Brother Carl Johnson, CJ, who is holding it down in New York City, and your thoughts about the passing and the life of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. Brother CJ.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, I've been so knee-deep in my social engineering work, I really haven't been paying much attention to any black folks, not in the field that I'm working in, which is mass incarceration. So when you told me that last night, I did research Dr. Welsing this afternoon, and I'm very impressed by the great work that she's done in the psychological and psychiatry field. But other than that, I don't have much of a comment, except my heart goes out to any of our people that have contributed so much to our cause.
Yes, indeed. Let's move with Amanda T, representing Atlanta, and your thoughts about Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, her life and her passing, please.
Hey, Sister Nia, I would just like to say in brief that I think she was a phenomenal woman, and we don't have a lot of phenomenal women that have written such provocative books. I have not read her book, but I've heard a lot of excerpts from her book, and she's highly recognized here in the ATL and also in Chicago as well, and she was very well known. I personally, as I said, haven't read her book, but one thing I was impressed about is that she wrote a Black Pledge of Allegiance. And maybe next time when we convene, you know, we can get a copy of that. But one of the things that stood out for me in that is that she was, within that theme, is seeking equal justice, which is something that we've been trying to get for a long time. So I commend her, and I hope she got enough flowers while she was living.
Beautiful, beautiful statements from everybody. Our round table tonight on It's Your Opinion at the Round Table. Four guests calling from around the country. And we've just heard from Yolanda from Atlanta. And wrapping it up on our final thoughts and opinions about the passing of our great queen, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, we'll have Dr. Bruce Bridges weighing in with his opinion and his statements about her passing, please.
Thank you very much, Sister Nia. I remember very clearly in about the year of 19 81 or 82, and I had a Xerox copy of The Crest Theory by Dr. Frances Crest Welsing, and I knew about the work she had done in opposition to Shockley and about black inferiority. And eventually, I opened a bookstore not too long after I received a copy of her Crest Theory and started to carry her book after it was published from the Crest Theory. She expanded upon it and was published. And I sold so many copies of her books, The Crest Theory of Color Consciousness. And it really was an important book to awaken many African American people in the city of Durham, North Carolina, where I'm from. And it became so popular that I had her to come to Durham, brought her to Durham, North Carolina, and she did a lecture seminar in the city of Durham. And what I was inspired by so much about her writing was the fact that she actually decoded a lot of the symbolism in black America and in white society and explain what the symbols such as the golf ball and the basketball and football and the gun and other symbols that are used in this society, and we think that they mean nothing, but she decoded them and let us know that it was all about white supremacy, and that if we understood the symbols in this society, then it would help us to better understand white supremacy. And since that time, I wrote a book myself called Recapturing the African Mind, and about 2 years ago, I think it may have been, maybe three, but I sent her a copy of my book, and she called me back once she received the copy, and she liked it because she said I had decoded in religion and education what she was decoding in symbolism, and she was happy to see my book. So that's basically my words about Dr. Frances Crest Welsing, the fact that she did awaken African people and made us understand that there's more to symbols than what we see, but there's something behind the symbols, and that's what we need to understand in order that we might understand white global supremacy.
Absolutely.
Great.
And her services are taking place January 23rd at Crampton Auditorium. That's at Howard University.
I know, right.
Mm-hmm. To 3 p.m. So you'll have all black dignitaries, your grassroots, soldiers, students, and people from around the world to come and pay our deepest respect to our sister on that particular day, and that is, of course, Dr. Frances Crest Welsing, gone but will not ever be forgotten. And we thank you for your statements, panel. Again, if you're just tuning in, we have a round table panel, and you're listening to It's Your Opinion at the Round Table, and this is where we discuss issues that affect the black community worldwide. We have calling in from Durham, North Carolina, our brother and doctor brother, Dr. Bruce Bridges. Also calling in from Atlanta, our hardworking sister, Sister Yolanda C. Also calling in from New York City, make no mistake about it, our dear friend and one of the hardest workers in the city, Brother Carl Johnson, also known as CJ. And we have that world traveler, our sister, representing and holding down WDC and the metropolitan area, that's Sister Cade Campbell. We'll move on to our next subject here at the round table, and a lot of us have heard the controversy, and we want to weigh in our opinions about the controversy, and that is, of course, of our brother Bill Cosby. We'll start with you, Brother Carl Johnson, and your opinion at the round table offered to us about Bill Cosby.
Well, I think that I try to make it clear that because of my discipline as a behaviorist, I really don't have much opinion about anything else, anything, period. I mean, I don't have opinions, but my assessment of the what I call a media feeding frenzy on Mr. Cosby is really incredible. You know, the opportunities like this, they take full advantage of an opportunity like this. And the only reference point that I could relate to, because I didn't even look at the stuff they were putting out. I mean, I see it when I go online, but I didn't read the papers. I didn't look at it on TV because I knew what it was going to be. And the only reference point I have about that kind of thing that we need to be mindful of as black people is that Dr. King's reference to a moral high ground, I think it's ironic as hell, but we as a people have to, well, hell is not profanity, but anyway, we have, as a people, and I like this part of it, we have to be way above any bar that's set for morality. I mean, and that's in our day-to-day life. But whenever celebrity, you know, gets into a circumstance like Mr. Cosby, they're gonna run away with that. And they're gonna apply it. You talk about coding. That's their way of making a code a reality for them.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, we want to hear at this time from Sister Yolanda C. and your thoughts and opinions or statements or assessments about Brother Bill Cosby and the controversy that is surrounding him and his family today, alleging sexual assault on one woman that's in trial, but 30 or 40 or quite a few making the accusation, but the trial is on one person. Yolanda, weigh in, please.
My opinion is I feel that it's been media frenzy, too much media frenzy. He had not been, accused. He had not been charged prior to, a week ago or a few days ago. And I feel that it is an infraction to have this man ostracized the way he was, and he had not been charged with any crimes. These were all accusations. And if it's true or if it's not true, that's only something God really knows, because I think it's like a snowball effect that's taken effect. You have all these ladies coming out saying what he did. But my other concern is on the flip side, there's a Roman Polanski that is in Poland that has left the country. He left the country several years ago. And he actually was charged with child rape. He raped a child, 13-year-old. And just maybe a few weeks ago, they said they would not extradite him back to the United States. He is being allowed to seek asylum in that country. That's something that is, to me, that should be all over the media, but if you didn't see it that day and that hour, you wouldn't have seen it. He was a popular director. But saying all that to say, I feel that there's too much bias and this systemic abuse of demeaning black men when white women are involved. And then you had an officer that was charged with raping and sexually molesting over 13 women in another state, and they didn't show his face until he was in the courtroom being charged. I think they're trying to give him 263 years, but my point is he had been charged, and we didn't see anything about that gentleman. So I just think that there needs to be more equitable coverage of all of these atrocities when the facts present themselves and charges have been brought against a person.
Well, I don't think nobody's going to doubt that there is definitely double jeopardy, a double standard in America, especially when it comes to crimes. It makes me go back to O.J. Simpson. I remember them taking off the soaps and trying him basically on TV even before it made it to court. So the double jeopardy in America is very apparent. Anybody want to weigh in on that before we go to Dr. Bruce's opinion about the subject?
Well, I think that I think it fits into the German concept of if you tell a lie long enough, people might believe it. So they call it propaganda, but in this society, it's a method of white people. I hate that word too. I hate that word white. I don't know no white people. I know Caucasian people. All right, but anyway, they have their methodologies that are very lethal, and they use them. And media is one of their strongest, maybe the strongest, aside from corporate America and the financial control, the mind control. The media has, you know, that's their biggest weapon, and that's the weapon I fight against. Language is very important. You got to bring down that media because they're not news. They're supposed to be journalists. A journalist, as far as his discipline or his profession is concerned, is supposed to report the truth and nothing but the truth, the facts. So this is why it's a weapon, because they make a news thing. They're not reporting. They're not investigating. They just make, boom, news out of it. They don't look underneath it. But actually, the media is not just in control, or their purpose is not just to control black issues. They want to control all issues.
I have to concur on that indeed. Dr. Bridges, talking about Bill Cosby, please share your thoughts.
Yes. First of all, I want to agree with you, and I think somebody else mentioned it too, but especially with you, Sister Nia. And that is that there is a double standard. And one example would be with all the things that was going on with Bill Clinton when he was in the White House. And he still remained the president of this country after all that went on with the scandal with Monica Lewinsky. And as you mentioned with O.J. Simpson, and we could even go a little further, even with the double standard of what's happening out in Oregon, with the fact that the federal government is negotiating with the people there who have guns, who have rifles, who have artillery, but they have not dropped a bomb on those people like they dropped a bomb on the MOVE organization in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They have not destroyed black organizations. They negotiate with white people when they have guns, but with us, there's a double standard. So that's the first thing that we need to realize, that America has a different standard when it comes for African-American male, female, our people, or in this case, Bill Cosby, black men, whatever the case, there's a double standard. And the next thing is, we as people, which kind of goes into something else you said we'd be talking about a little later, and that is we as African-American people need to understand that Bill Cosby is Bill Cosby and Dr. Huxtable was Dr. Huxtable, and he was just portraying a character on television, and for us to think that he was anything other than a black man is absurd. And for us not to realize that, it lets you know that we are not facing reality. We as a people have to face reality, because also, Bill Cosby, along with what's going on now, and being Dr. Huxtable, which was only a television character. And I was with a group of people today who were doing a theater presentation, and they had to tell me, they had to say, you realize now that what you see on the movies or in the theater or on television is only a portrayal of that particular character. And that's what Bill Cosby was. So to put him up as he was put up, and then to denigrate him and humiliate him and to put him in another position may have been surprising to people, but we have to realize that that was not rooted in reality from the very beginning. And I think that that's very important to understand. And to also understand that Bill Cosby did a video presentation called Black History, Lost, Stolen, or Strayed, and he gave out a tremendous amount of African American history facts. But then when you look at him, and I'm not talking about this particular incident, but his history in terms of the other statements that he made many years ago, as we all know, about African American people and black community and his arrogance and his being very snide and aloof when it comes to black people, we have to realize that he is a human being and that we have to look at him as such, but he should not be viewed any differently from any white person. As a matter of fact, he should be viewed probably differently from white people, because we are people who have been subjected to the worst racism, the worst humiliation, the worst denigration, and the worst condition of any people in this society. So to judge us in the same way that they would judge white people, which they have not done, but they actually hold us to a double standard, is even worse.
That's Dr. Bruce Bridges. Sister Cade, did we get your opinion on Mr. Bill Cosby?
Not yet, Sister Nia, and I do have an opinion. You know, I'm kind of all over the place with this. I remember listening to Sinbad being interviewed on a radio show. I listened to it online, and he mentioned that Dr. Cosby was concerned in that the portrayals that he wanted to make when he was Dr. Huxtable was very hard it was difficult for him to get the kind of backing that he needed to that he would have wanted by the producers in terms of Dr. Huxtable. But in the end, for the most part, he did get the look that he wanted us to see as viewers. And we, of course, know that. I mean, even down to the jazz music that was played on the show, the artwork where he focused on artwork from contemporary African Americans, he really made a point of getting our culture on his show, which is really important to note. And Sinbad said because of that, he had a large number of problems with the producers. Now, the other piece to that is that one of the things I think it's really important to look at is the fact that Dr. Cosby also wanted to buy NBC, and that's where he hit that glass ceiling, and the news media refused to sell him NBC, this was around 15 years ago. And before that, he sought to buy one of the basketball teams. And he had been in conversation with Isaiah Thomas back in the day. And I think Isaiah Thomas wanted to go in with him in getting one of the first-rate basketball teams. That was also denied to him. Now, it's very interesting to note also that when Dr. Cosby talked about, and I'm sure our listeners as well as our panel will remember this, when he talked about African-American people using terms, or what he called eubonics, and we had to get away from that, and it was reported roundly on the corporate news stations. However, when he discussed, and he was very blunt about how he felt about us using correct English as he saw it, and it turned off a number of African Americans. However, when it came to him criticizing people like Trump more than 15 years ago, nothing was said in the news media about that. So on the one hand, when he attempted to make arrangements to obtain, for example, I mean, can you imagine African Americans controlling a news media as big as NBC? That was denied. And I think we have to, and getting back to Dr. Francis Chris Welsing, when we understand that this is a systemic racism that's ongoing throughout the years since enslavement and even before then we understand why Dr. Cosby was not able to purchase these the news media as well as the basketball team. So I think as we look at what's playing out on the corporate media news, then we have to consider these points as well. And I'll leave it at that. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, was the fact that Ben's Chili Bowl in downtown Washington, there's a painting of Dr. Cosby where and I want to shorten my comment. There's a painting, and that was defaced a couple of weeks ago. And since then, Ben's Chili Bowl, they made arrangements to clear the defacement, but there's been a push in Washington, D.C., to actually take his Dr. Cosby's likeness off of Ben's Chili Bowl. So there's a lot of rumbling going on, and it waits for us to see what will occur in terms of the court proceedings, and I'll leave it at that.
I know that looking at the racial aspect of the case, the comments are clearly appropriate. No one here is advocating anything positive about sexual assault, and we have examined the one aspect of his possible innocence and also the racial aspect. Let's look at if he was found guilty, or let's say if he confessed to one or some, how would our opinions of Bill Cosby be in that respect? That if he was found guilty, or let's just say, for an example, he confessed that there is some type of illness that could possibly be, because all of us know that sexual assault is not only against women today, it's against children and even men to a degree. So when two or three women come forward versus 40 and maybe 50, I believe we should look at both sides and weigh in on both possibilities if he is guilty. My opinion would be that he is still a great entrepreneur in his professional life. We can't take anything from him. As Cade Campbell was saying, they were trying to take his name off a building. The man hasn't even had a trial. And even prior to that, he wasn't even arraigned as he was last week in a Pennsylvania court. But public opinion, mostly from Caucasians, were already calling him guilty. However, also there was talk about removing his footprint from L.A. without a trial, without an arraignment, just because somebody said this black man did. But I want us to look at, now, in respect to the women, if one was assaulted and the others were not, or if some were assaulted and others were not, what would our opinions be of Bill Cosby then? And I'll start off with my opinion first, and that would be, of course, that it's horrible. He should pay for his crime and seek medical attention. If just one, just one was true. I don't know if there is a conspiracy. I don't believe all 40 or 50 of the numbers. I think some may be in there for monetary gain or publicity. But I don't know the facts of the case, but I do have an opinion or an analysis, if you will. If there was one, then, of course, he should pay for his crime and seek help. Anybody want to get in on that?
I just want to agree with you, Sister Neal, with what you said. I just want to reiterate what you said, which was a very good analysis of the whole thing. I think that's a very good analysis. But it's a very complex situation. It's not simple, and there are just a lot of answers to it. But I do know that if he were a white man, they would not be putting him through what they're putting Bill Clinton through in the media. And as you gave the other example of O.J. Simpson, they wouldn't have done it if these were white people. I do know that.
No doubt. But if he was found guilty based on facts or evidence, which I don't see how, unless he confesses. So that's why I'm using the example. If he confesses, how would our opinion of our brother change or remain the same? We're talking on It's Your Opinion at the Round Table with our guest, Sister Cade Campbell from Washington, D.C., Brother Carl Johnson, known as CJ, from New York City, Sister Yolanda C., holding it down from Atlanta, Georgia, and Dr. Bruce Bridges, representing Durham, North Carolina. And we're just weighing in on our analysis and opinions. If he was found guilty, how would that change or affect your opinion as of right now? We'll start with you, Sister Yolanda.
I would say that for me personally, I look at it as, on a spiritual level, I'll say I look at David in the Bible and all the atrocities David, King David, who later became King David, committed throughout the Bible, but I look at also all of the good deeds that he did as he allowed God to use him and be a very influential person in the Bible. I look at that as Bill Cosby actually brought a lot of goodness to the African-American culture. As Sister Katie said, Sister Cade said, with the different backgrounds in the black art in the shows. And I think that there's a bigger picture here that is trying to desecrate our heritage, our lineage, our art, our culture. And it's a bigger than Bill Cosby.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I think it's bigger. It goes bigger than that, as someone else had mentioned as well. It's an attack on us as a people, because it seems as though, for me, I would still respect him, just to answer your question so I don't belabor the topic. I respect the good that he's done here. I mean, Spelman College gave back millions of dollars here in Atlanta. He hadn't been charged. He hadn't even been formally charged, but they gave money back from the pressures of the naysayers and the media trying him on television. So I just respect him for the good that he's done, and he needs to deal with the bad that he has done, if that's applicable to him.
Yes, ma'am. Brother CJ, if he was found...
Well, I think that as I'm listening, I'm almost laughing, because I know why I didn't look at none of this stuff. And like I said before, I know how lethal and deadly the way they portray people in the media can be. And I don't want to feel like a victim. So I'm not even going to take a hypothetical notion of if he is guilty or if he's not guilty. You know, I really think when the sister brought up the spiritual thing, in my spiritual world, I don't even pay attention to things like that. I just don't. It's like spiritual warfare, you know. I mean, the media can really bring some spiritual warfare into a person's, you know, living room and into your being. That's why I don't bother with that stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No problem. We have Sister Cade Campbell, a hyped question, if you will. If he admitted and that he did that, would your opinion change, remain the same? What would it be?
I was thinking about that as I was listening to roundtable questions and comments. It made me think of Mike Tyson. And remember, Mike Tyson was brought up on charges of rape and subsequently actually did jail time. And I loved Mike Tyson. I loved the way he fought. He was really a big hero for me, and particularly coming on the heels, well, not quite on the heels of Muhammad Ali, but I knew the problems in terms of his growing up as a young child and not having his father. And so I really liked his accomplishments. I knew that he had to grow. So when he was actually charged and convicted, you know, on the one hand, even though I wasn't clear about whether or not he was brought up on charges that actually reflected what he had done personally, I decided what I would do is still consider his accomplishments as a boxer and, on the other hand, separate that in a sense from what the media and the courts felt he had done as a person. So, you know, having said that, I don't know, Sister Nia, how I would take Dr. Cosby if he was actually found guilty of these charges. But I do know this point is that I will always appreciate what he did as when he had his show. And I would like to mention that when his show was on, I was in graduate school out in Hawaii, and you could count the number of African Americans at the university and in Hawaii itself. And I know my students that I was a substitute teacher as well, and my students for the most part were Caucasian. And I agree with the brother who said that about using the word Caucasian as opposed to white. Every day after his show would come on, the next morning, the students would, you know, talk about the show and what they had learned, and they would even look at me and wonder because he exposed in such a positive way, Dr. Cosby did, how others saw us as people. And as one of the panelists mentioned, it seems as though his legacy it seems to be a sense of destroying his legacy and what he did positive, and by way of that, destroying the positiveness that he left in terms of how other people see African-American people. So I'd like to leave it at that for the moment.
I think we lost Dr. Bruce Bridges for a moment on the live line here on NIA2X Radio, weighing in on sensitive subjects like the Bill Cosby situation. He was arraigned last week in Philadelphia on charges of sexual assault, let out on a $1 million bail where he is free. And keep in mind, he has not been charged, and he is not guilty. He's only been accused. And we just went to a hyper, just a pretense situation if he was found guilty by his own admission, what our opinions of him would be, or would our opinions remain the same? And that's what it's all about. It's your opinion on the round table affecting black people around the country and black people worldwide. Let's weigh in on you, Brother Dr. Bridges, before we go to our first commercial break. We're 47 minutes past the hour right here at NIA2X Radio. What is or what are your statements concerning only in the pretense world? If he admitted, yes, I did it, would your opinion stay the same? Would your opinions, sir, change? Or how would you relate to us if he did it?
If he were to admit it, Sister Nia, I would just take it for what he said, but then I would look at the bigger picture and would say, let's move on now. We have to do for the advancement and the betterment of African people, and to realize that what Bill Cosby has done in his life among black people is just a small, minuscule situation in terms of what we as people need to be concerned about, and that is white supremacy and the fact that we still need to fight for our liberation no matter what the case may be and no matter how it comes out. We're still in the same position as a people, and that's what we need to focus on.
I see. Yes, sir. Thank you. And anybody else before we go to the commercial break? You got about 1 minute to wrap that up on Brother Dr. Bill Cosby. Okay, we're going to take this first commercial break here on tonight's program. You're listening to It's Your Opinion at the Round Table, and this is where our guests discuss, share, and offer their insight on issues that are important to us, important to the black community, nationwide and worldwide. This portion of the program is brought to you by Sunshine Tours and Travels. Sunshine Tours and Travels specialize in Black history tours all over the country and even abroad. They're safe, enjoyable, fun, and exciting to yours that break down, teach, and reveal the beautiful and ongoing story of the Black experience. Book your tour today for your family, neighbors, and schools to join Sunshine Tours and Travel with their Black History Tours. They celebrate Black History 24/7 permanently. To get more information, call them at 202-352-2121 or go online at blackonblackunity.com. Sunshine Tours and Travel, specializing in Black history tours all over the country and even abroad. We're back in the studio with our exciting guest, weighing in on issues that are important to us, that are about us, and these issues are coming from our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and nothing is wrong. You feel the way you feel, you can express yourself right here at the round table. Our guests include Dr. Bruce Bridges. He's calling in from Durham, North Carolina. Yolanda C. She's calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. Carl Johnson, better known as Brother CJ. He's calling in from New York City. And Cade Campbell. She's calling in from Washington, D.C., representing the DMV area. I'm happy to be your host today. My name is Nia2X, and we're going back to the subjects right here, what we're talking about, and it's about Black people. Mainstream media has a job to do, and that is to report news and information, and I want to be the first to say I'm not satisfied. I am not satisfied with mainstream and their reporting of information that's important to me as a Black woman, a Black citizen, and they have their job to do, and right here at the round table, we have our job to do, and it's all for you, the listening audience, of what is important to Black people worldwide, as well, rather, nationwide and worldwide. And that brings us to our next subject. And our next subject is talking about the mind condition of our people, the thinking of our people. We're like sheep in too many instances. We're herded to the right. We're herded to the left with people telling us information, and we are believing and accepting that that information is for our best interest, only to find out a lot of times on social media you really get information that is important and that should, in my small opinion, be at the forefront of mainstream media rather than most of the stories their editors tend to pick out or choose for us as a nation, as a country that is considered important and worthy of our time to hear. So when we're talking about the minds of Black people, we're talking about the masses of Black people, what type of condition are our people in your analysis and opinions when it comes to the mind, when it comes to the thinking? Are we awake? Are we being lulled to sleep? Are we being misled? Are we being fed information that is beneficial? What is your opinion or analysis here at the round table? And we'll start with you, Brother CJ from New York City.
Well, I'm kind of glad you started with me because, you know, I do my research. And after our conference last night, I did deeper research. As I said before last night, I believe that our history of freedom fighting in this country from slavery till today often forgets the real essential issues that keep us oppressed. And I found something today that Harriet Tubman said. She said, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves.
Come on.
And when I read that, yo, I went, that's it. When I was on your program, I told you about Brother Malcolm, re-education of the black mind, okay? And my key, this is my anchor for dealing with the mental condition or the minds of black folks, comes from W.E. Du Bois. He's sort of like, to me, the bridge that went from slavery to free slaves. And he said, the most psychological difficulty of freed slaves living will be living in the society of the oppressor. And to me, that is the ground floor. Okay? Because he expands it further. Not only will we have to be, we've been listening to him in slavery for 400 years. Half of the people there, Tubman said, believed they wasn't slaves. So now here you go. Incrementally, we fight. We get people to come up and fight. We get Frederick Douglass. We get all our warriors that have fought incremental battles, won incremental battles, up until now. And now we still have people, not only just black people, but this is more dangerous than black people, mind. The way they think about us. The way they think about us. Okay, what do they that's why programs like this and people like us need to be more out front and talking. That's Frederick Douglass. You got to agitate. You got to talk about who you are as a black person. But that, I believe, is continually. The one thing that's kind of surprising to me, and it came up last night in our conversation, our millennial youth ain't buying it. They don't pay it no mind. They know, and that I could use that language that you say we can't use, but they know better. But the image that people give them from a journalistic perspective or from a social perspective, oh, they are gangs, they are hoodlums, they wear hoodies, all that stuff, that's because they know these young people are onto that game. And that's what I'm working at, to try to connect our history of progress, of social development, from our great black people to these kids. We got to get to these kids because they're waiting for us. A lot of people don't know. They're waiting for us.
Yes, sir.
They're waiting for some direction.
All right.
And by the way, that sister said it last night when she brought up Chicago. I know them dudes in Chicago. I was out there back in the 80s. When they said, we're no longer going to be gangs. We're going to protect our community. They turned into the protectors of their community. And the police wasn't running in there then, okay? But that kind of mentality with our young people is still here. Only they're not as organized as they were in Chicago, all right? But here in New York, they're smart enough to know better, okay? So that's my two cents
right.
on that matter.
All right, that was Brother CJ weighing in on the mind, the brain condition of black people in America, and we'll go straight to Dr. Bridges making your comments on the same subject. How do you see, and by the way, Dr. Bridges has a current book on the market. I highly recommend that book to anybody and everybody. I haven't completed reading the book. It's highlighted so much from where I have been reading it, titled Recapturing the African Mind. Dr. Bridges, your thoughts on the mind condition of our people in the country and worldwide, please. Thank you, Brother CJ. Dr. Bridges, are you here, sir?
Yes, ma'am, right here.
Okay, your opinion, mind, condition for black people.
And you know, Sister Nia, I was thinking about how.
Internationally, please.
Right, I was thinking about how to approach it, but as we've said from the very beginning, we are all under the global effect of white supremacy, and when we look at minds and our minds, it ties right into my book, Recapturing the African Mind, and I have discovered from my research that we have been destroyed of our minds through two basic sources, and I discovered this while teaching a course in world history, and I noticed that wherever European people have gone, they have always built two institutions, and the first institution was the church, and the second is the school, and
yes.
Everywhere that they have gone, 100% consistently all the time, they will always, when they conquer or colonize any other people of color on the face of the planet, be it the Aborigines in Australia, be it the black people in the Fiji Islands, be it the black people in Aztec communities in Central and South America, be it the dark-skinned Arawak and Carib people in the Caribbean, wherever they go, they will always build a church and a school. And I wondered why, when I discovered this, why it is that they built those two institutions. But then after further research, I realized that both of those institutions deals with what goes into your mind. If they cannot control you through the schools during the week, they will get you on Sunday in the churches, and sometimes because church and school is combined, you will say a prayer in the morning before school starts, so they get your mind in church and in school, and they get us with the vacation Bible schools, with the Baptist BTU and the evangelists coming to our churches through the week, and they get us in the summertime and at the vacation Bible schools, but they always will take control of us by their religion and their schools, and this is what I realized, and because of this, we are celebrating holidays that they have put on the calendar, such as Christmas and Valentine's Day and Thanksgiving Day and New Year's Day and everything, but it's all tied to them controlling our minds. And as you know, once they control the minds of the human being, then the bodies will follow. Once your mind is controlled, you can ask any pimp on the street, ask any woman. Once you take the mind of the human being, then the body can follow. And this is what has happened to us. And they've done it through our history, our mathematics, by telling us that everything started in Greece. They've done it by telling us about Shakespeare and their literature and everything. And a recent bit of research that I'm doing now, which I mentioned to you before, and I'm going to come out with something about it now. When you look at the whole idea of this movie of Sherlock Holmes, it's all about British colonialism, propaganda. And so they have propagandized through their religion and through their schools and have taken controls of our minds totally and completely.
All right. Okay, I want to go straight to Cade Campbell. It's 8:03 at this time, 8:03 at the hour. Cade Campbell, please weigh in on the mind condition of black people in America and abroad.
One of the most blatant forms of mind control is when President Obama was running to be president, and there was this call or discussion on various radio news stations that there was no longer any racism. And I found that some of the students actually believe that. So whenever I go in and substitute, which I do from time to time, substitute teach, I like to always talk with my students about what their feelings are about racism. And I had a discussion about 6 weeks ago with a mixed 11th and 12th grade class, and I forget now exactly what the comment was that was made before this one female student who was in 11th grade said to the other student, but, you know, racism still, those who maybe aren't racist towards us, we were talking about Black Lives Matter. She said those whites or Caucasians who are not racist towards us still have benefited from racism. And I think that's one of the things that we need to look at in terms of racism and But at the same time that I say that, what I found in the school system, and the brother that just spoke before me, is that our students now know so little about the history of not only racism, but just our history. And I think one of the things that we as older elders or people who are writing, as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing would say constantly, is that we must educate the young. And because the schools are controlled and it is a system, and that system does not include the wealth of knowledge and information that African peoples in the diaspora has brought to the world, because our culture is not only American culture, but it's world culture, our just everything you can think of, our style of dress, our way of talking, music, everything. It is world culture. Around the world, people emulate and copy us. And yet we, for example, in the United States are considered less than. Well, how can that be? That's because we have a media that tells us that we're less than. So I wanted to say a lot more, but I'll leave the forum open to the other panelists.
And we have 5 minutes after the hour of eight going to Yolanda C. representing Atlanta. And let's try to get it in quick. There are a couple of things that we may have to have short comments on, and it's okay because this panel, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is coming back on the 20th of January, Wednesday, 20th of January, 2016, to complete these comments and talk about other issues. And we may have a live call-in where you can call in and be able to inquire to any of the panelists you desire. So, Sister Yolanda, the mind condition of black people in America, in your opinion, at the round table.
Well, the mind condition is a powerful, powerful thought that is going on, the mind control that's going on here. And I feel, as Dr. Maya Angelou used to say, no one can dim the light that which is within. And some of us don't realize that our lights have been put out. Our lights within have been put out. There's a combination of people out here, and that's what I feel is it's a blessing, because at one time everybody was sitting at home, pulled their shades down, sitting up with their recliner, put their feet up, they thought they arrived. People are now awakening, and it's a blessing for me, because some of us have already been awake. We've been awaiting for our other brothers and sisters to awaken to the atrocities and the disparities that are going on, the systematic racism that's going on. And what I have found is people have lost hope. And if you take a person's mind, you also take their hope, because they're hopeless. They don't feel they can achieve. I meet and mentor some young people here, and I tell them the things that they can do. You have the power. Don't be a police officer. Be the police chief. Don't be a CNA. Be a nurse. Be a practical. Be a physician's assistant. Be the doctor.
Yeah.
So we have to expand their minds to go beyond what people are saying. And I say, if you want to pick up garbage, don't be the garbage man all the time. Be the foreman of the garbage man. You know, that may be.
Yeah.
You may want to be a garbologist. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
If you want to be a plumber, start teaching other people. I have a friend here who is now teaching young people to be plumbers. But I feel that is something that is happening, as well as the sister was speaking about in the schools. There's a gentleman here that has a radio show, and he also has a Real Women Read and Real Men Read. So we go into the schools and the elementary schools, and I've been doing this for about 3 years. And one out of three girls cannot read. So we need to make sure that our children are being taught how to read. Because if you can't read, you can't function out here. And then what do? You do as everyone has collectively said. You believe what you hear. You believe what you see. Because you can't read and get the information for yourself. And it's one thing to read, but you have to be able to read and comprehend what you're reading.
Absolutely.
And as a people, I feel, and lastly, that we have to continue to listen to understand and not listen to respond. Because when you're listening to respond, then you're not understanding what the person is saying that's talking to you because you're too busy trying to collate a response instead of fully understanding what is being said. So that's
good
what
point.
I would like to say. Thank you for giving
point.
Us the opportunity.
I want to thank all of the roundtable. Good points, good information. A food for thought, if you will. We're going to wrap up the program. It is 8:10 p.m. Eastern Standard right here on Near 2X Radio where we came today for It's Your Opinion. It's Your Thoughts at the Round Table. This is where our guest from Washington, D.C., Cade Campbell, Durham, North Carolina, Dr. Robert Bridges, New York City, Brother Carl Johnson, and Washington, D.C., Sister Cade Campbell. Now, real quick, we have to really make short statements. Let's try to get it in. Please let the world know what's going on in New York City, short and quick and to the point, because you're coming back the 20th of January so that we can continue our round table discussions, what affects the black community and what is important to the black community from your analysis and your perspective. Brother CJ, we'll start with you and then go to Sister Cade Campbell. Sir.
Right here in New York City, we've been real fortunate. We have, like I said, a really informed spiritual community of Latinos and African Americans, and they understand the ballot box, and they have put people from our neighborhoods into all the leading government positions in New York City. So our assemblymen, our councilmen, everybody in government in New York City comes from one of our hoods.
All
and
right,
that's what's going on here. You can't get by them with anything that ain't going to benefit our communities.
Good point. Sister Cade Campbell, quick and to the point, please.
Yes, there are a number of things that I'd like to say. I'll just say one. I'm concerned by the fact that there are condos going up all around D.C., and we have people coming into the city, and what unfortunately the rents are so high that many African Americans are no longer able to pay those rents or are spending all their monies or have to leave the city. So instead of being, as we would used to call it, Chocolate City, things have changed progressively over the last 10, 15 to 20 years. So I'm concerned about that, and I'd like to talk further about that as we continue with our roundtable discussion.
All right, now, Cade Campbell holding down Washington, D.C. Prior to her was Brother C.J. holding it up for New York City. Dr. Bruce Bridges, your last brief comments. What's going on in Durham, North Carolina? Because it's not in mainstream media, sir, but it's right here on NIA 2X Radio.
As the sister just said, in Washington, D.C., Durham, North Carolina, and I think probably this will go for just about every major city in this country, in the same situation with Sister Frances Cress Welsing, in the city of Durham, African-American people are being pushed out of the inner city. White people are taking over the housing and building new housing, and gentrification is on the rise, and the rents are very extravagant. And so I think the same thing is happening, which is a reversal of what happened in the 60s, and that is when white people saw black people taking over the cities and began to bomb and to riot and to burn the cities down. They ran to the suburbs, but now that we've gotten quiet, they've come back and trying to take over the housing and the businesses, and we are being pushed out, and they're refurbishing and rehabbing the houses. And in Durham, North Carolina, there's a black mayor and a black city council, but it looks like white people are still in charge.
Great points. That was Brother Dr. Bruce Bridges holding it up at Durham, North Carolina, and we'll finalize with our sister telling us about Atlanta, Georgia. What's happening with black people, Sister Yolanda C.?
Well, what's happening in Atlanta is the continuing atrocities of the police officers here not being held accountable. They are right now in the process of establishing some citizen review boards. There's only one here in Atlanta, Georgia, and they're trying to get another one in Marietta, a couple other suburbs here, and to hold the police officers accountable, because since the courts and the district attorneys are not holding them accountable, they're trying to form citizen review panels in different counties in the area. Approximately 184 fatal police shootings done by police officers have occurred here in Georgia since between 2010 and 2015. 184 people have been shot, predominantly African Americans. Some are mentally ill, and they're not being prosecuted. So that's something that's going on here, as well as what everyone's collectively talked about, the regentrification and also the Medicaid expansion here, that the governor here does not want to expand Medicaid for people that don't have health care. So those are three things that are going on here.
I want to say thank you to Sister Cade Campbell, Brother Dr. Bruce Bridges, Brother Carl Johnson, and Sister Yolanda C. for making it happen at the round table. This portion of the program is sponsored by the National Congress of Black Women. The NCBW is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization with male and female members who work in the heart of the community. Whether they're talking about homeless issues, domestic violence, political support, and even exposing and reaching those in need of help in human trafficking situations, they are a national organization who is reaching far and wide and really making a difference, not only in the lives of women, but also supporting the whole family. The National Congress of Black Women was first chaired by the late Honorable Shirley Chisholm, who was succeeded by the late Honorable C. DeLois Tucker. Today, leading the charge and CEO and president is the Honorable Dr. E. Faye Williams. To become a member of the NCBW, call Monday through Friday at 202-678-6788 or go to online nationalcongressbw.org. That ends our program today. We're so happy and honored that all of you came on and presented those intelligent, mind-blowing, must-think-about subjects. For all people, regardless of your nationality, it's time to live large and take charge in our opinions and analysis of what's going on in our community. We need to interpret on our own, and I know that was done tonight. Thank you, Cade Campbell, WDC. Thank you, Brother CJ, New York City. Thank you, Brother Dr. Bruce Bridges, Durham, North Carolina, and thank you, Sister Yolanda, Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our sponsors indeed tonight, the NCBW, and as well Sunshine Tours and Travel. Indeed, thank you to all of the listeners, and be sure to listen to any program we have right here on NIA2X Radio, the voice of the people. And indeed, we couldn't do anything without our dear engineer, who makes it happen each and every time, and that is Sister Queen. So remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. Have a peaceful evening and keep it right here on NIA2X Radio, the voice of the people. Peace to everyone.